I'm joined now by a man whose very surname is synonymous for many people with some of the best times of the BBC, David Dimbleby. More than 50 years with the organisation, David.
Just about 50 years, John. How many have you done? I can't remember.
Rather less.
Just a few.
Just a few. This is being talked of as the greatest crisis in the history of the BBC. Do you agree?
No. I think that's hyperbole. I think that's unnecessary. I think what it is one of the greatest internal crises in the BBC. But the standing of the BBC, I mean, I go around the country every week to different places, and wherever I go, people speak with pride and gratitude for what the BBC does. And I think the work that's done by the BBC is unquestionable. It's the greatest broadcasting organisation in the world and remains that. What it has is a crisis of management of its own making.
That's a slightly different question, though, isn't it? Whether the BBC is a great organisation in many respects. Nobody would argue with that. But the crucial thing is said to be, and whether you agree with this or not, it is the trust in which it's held. And that trust has been badly damaged, hasn't it?
I think only by this one absurd broadcast by Newsnight, implying that Lord McAlpine was involved in the North Wales affair. I think we wait to see what happened with the Jimmy Savile inquiry, because that's more complicated. That's a decision not to run with a story that maybe they felt they hadn't got enough evidence for, I don't know. But this recent thing on Newsnight is absurd. I think it's been blown up. I don't think the Director General... I can't understand why the Director General resigned. And in fact, from the words you used, you said he was forced to resign, which I've not heard people say before.
Well, I don't know that, of course. I'd forced to resign.
Well, you
in
used
sense
the words.
Indeed, I did. I suppose simply because one imagines he didn't want to resign.
Well, it depends what you mean by the word forced.
Forced by circumstances, you know.
George, I don't know George well, but he's a clever man. He's a courteous man. But the fact that he chose to resign, and let's say he chose to resign. Mm-hmm. And the huge payoff given suggests perhaps he didn't resign, because you don't normally pay people for resigning. But anyway, the fact he chose to resign rather than fight showed that he wasn't actually the right choice for Director General, admirable man though he may be. The fact he didn't fight back against you on Saturday shows he wasn't the right man to lead the BBC. If you're going to be the Director General, you've got to fight for the organisation, and you've got to fight for the many people who work for it, who you and I know, are often underpaid, hard-pressed, and baffled and confused by the management above them. I mean, all the people I've worked, say I've worked a long time, I've worked in the news, I've worked for Panorama, I've worked on events, I've worked for features, I've made films, I've worked in all parts of the BBC, and I have never found anywhere a place which has more dedicated, hard-working, committed people who don't do it for the money, who work all hours for the love and belief of public service broadcasting, and for the fact that we do this, a non-profit-making organisation paid for by the public to serve them. And I think that's what's been betrayed, or is being betrayed, by the management. The problem with the BBC is that, if I just finish this point, is that bureaucracies are self-perpetuating. It's the same with the NHS. My wife works in the mental health services of the NHS. They're in chaos at the moment because the managers keep adding to management, reducing the actual service that's given. The BBC's done exactly the same thing. Bureaucrats, when they're asked to cut back on the scale of the BBC and its costs, immediately increase the number of managers to deal with the cuts. The people who suffer are the people who do the real work.
But in fact, BBC has cut management over the last few years. There have been some quite deep cuts into the management structure.
Well, in my opinion, it is still overmanaged, and the management still speak gobbledygook, which is one of my great complaints, and I think the complaints of, as you know, any editor, any head of a department spends their lives filling in forms, answer questions about things that are really not necessary, using a language that's so arcane about platforms and genres and goodness knows what. I mean, even calling George Entwistle head of vision, which nobody in the outside world understands.
That's in his previous job, yeah.
Yes, a head of vision, head of television. I mean, you know, it's gone bonkers at that level. And the trouble is that out of that, you don't get good director generals. You get people who've played the system carefully, one against the other. It's a very competitive business, we know that. And who rise through the ranks and are then chosen, and they just don't have the stomach for what's needed, for the kind of leadership that's needed.
Couldn't you make an argument that the BBC is different from other organisations simply because it's funded in the way that it's funded? People have no choice. They have to pay us whether they like it or not. And therefore, it's not a sort of buccaneering organisation that can be led by some slightly mad but much respected in many other ways character who, you know, the sort of thing I'm talking about, charging away on his white horse and saying, come on, come behind us. And it's always been different from that, hasn't it? And
it has.
It's got to be in a way, hasn't it? I mean, you ran for the Director General's job yourself. Where would you have taken the BBC?
I ran for the Director General's job and I twice ran for the chairmanship.
Mm.
God help me.
Where would you have gone? Exactly
what I've said. I believe that good, plain speaking is what's needed, not gobbledygook. Now, Chris Patten has a big responsibility now as chairman of the Trust. Goodness knows he's acting almost now like chairman of the old-fashioned governors.
Do you think he should go?
Certainly not. I mean, I think he should reflect on why he chose George to do the job, and I don't think he should rush in to choose a new director general within 2 or 3 weeks, which seems to be the plan at the moment. I think they should think long and hard at the Trust about the kind of person they need. But I mean, I don't know Chris Patten well, but I mean, he has a reputation for being a shrewd old bird, and a shrewd old bird is what's needed as chairman at the moment. For him to go would be absurd. It's like when the chairman and director general went over the Hutton inquiry. You can't lose everybody. It's not going to be easy to get this right, but it's got to be done. You know that the famous old saw, you never want a good crisis to go to waste. Do things you didn't think you could do before. And that's the way to use a crisis. And that's what Patten should do, is to have a good, close look at the way the BBC is running.
And just a quick thought on that, never let a good crisis go to waste. Should the BBC be run entirely differently? Should we get rid of the board of trustees completely and hand over the governance of the BBC to somebody like Ofcom?
Well, I don't like the Ofcom idea. I didn't like the abolition of the governors. I didn't think there was any need. I thought the governors were a perfectly good way of doing it. And indeed, the Trust is showing itself to be closer to being governors now. So I don't think that. And nor, incidentally, I saw John Simpson, my colleague, floated the idea of possibly separating editorial control from the management. I think that's also suspect. I've been thinking about that. I think, actually, the man at the top has to take responsibility for what's broadcast. He has to make sure there are systems, you know, that alert him to trouble. May I say, systems that tell him, have you read The Guardian this morning and do you see what's going on Twitter? You've got to have an organisation that's led by a man who ultimately is in charge and who ultimately takes responsibility.
David Dimbleby, many thanks.